So welcome in our first guest, Alec Busty from 24/7 Sports, covers the Cyclones for Cyclone Alert. Had him on a handful of times before, and always gracious with his time here, joining us on 1600 ESPN. Alec, happy Cyhawk Week. How you doing?
Good. I love Cyhawk Week. Ton of fun to always have these two in-state rivals matching up with each other on any Saturday during the year, but it's particularly fun that it's always Week 2. So super excited for Saturday to get here and to get over to Kinnick and be able to take it in there.
Is this your first Cyhawk game, or were you in town last week? I know you're relatively new to Cyclone Alert.
Yeah, this will be my second one. Okay. I was able to cover last year's game at Jack Trice, and it'll be my second game at Kinnick ever. So super excited to get over there and just kind of take in everything over at Kinnick, because I was really impressed with the last time I was able to go see a game over there in Iowa City, and obviously lots of great tradition and sold out crowd. I'm sure it'll be even better for a big rivalry like this weekend's.
Awesome. Well, looking like a pretty good game here nonetheless here for Saturday. Looks like great weather as well for folks attending the game. One of the big stories this week, we'll get to some more thoughts on the offense and everything surrounding them from the Cyclones' perspective, but probably the biggest story coming out of Matt Campbell's news conference on Tuesday was the status of Caleb Bacon and Will McLaughlin, two key pieces to that Iowa State defense, both going to miss the game against the Hawkeyes on Saturday afternoon. Huge blow, obviously. Can you just kind of take us through kind of the reaction from the team learning that news, the reaction from Matt Campbell, and give us some info on who's going to be expected to step up in their absence?
Yeah, losing Caleb Bacon's big for this Iowa State defense. Certainly one of their best playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, someone who they were really counting on. And, you know, he's got a really good story, Spencer. Obviously, an in-state linebacker who walks on at Iowa State, starts his career on special teams before slowly working his way on to playing a pretty important role for the defense last season, eventually gets put on scholarship before the Memphis game. And they were expecting him to be one of their leading contributors on that side of the ball throughout this season. So losing him for, you know, the foreseeable future is pretty damaging to a Cyclone defense that was already pretty thin at linebacker. You mentioned Will McLaughlin also not being able to play on Saturday. Sounds like he was banged up during training camp. Sounds like he's more week to week, so he won't be available this weekend. Potentially he's available after the bye week, which is next weekend. So maybe if I would say lucky or they're fortunate, they'll have McLaughlin back for the game against Arkansas State near the end of the month. But McLaughlin started every game for Iowa State last season at linebacker too. So they're down probably three of their top six linebackers, at least on paper, with Carson Willits tearing his ACL during the spring. That's obviously an intimidating thought to have if you're a Cyclone fan going against an offensive line that returns five starters from last year, and certainly a group that ran the ball well against Illinois State in week one.
Who are some of the folks that some of the players that that the Cyclones are going to be relying on to take their place here that we're going to see on the field, at least from what you've been hearing on Saturday?
Yeah, you'll see a lot of the same guys that played a majority of the snaps on Saturday against North Dakota. So that includes Zach Lovett, Jacob Ellis, someone who returned from injury, Jack Sadowski. He started every game for Iowa State as a true freshman last year. He probably needs to play a little bit better against Iowa this weekend. Cooper Ebel, someone who's kind of started to slowly work his way into a greater role after playing a good amount as a true freshman last season, I believe. And then Kel Brezina, someone who was injured last week against North Dakota. He went through warm-ups, but they decided to hold him out with an undisclosed injury. Brezina's just a true freshman, so he's obviously very unproven. But he enrolled at Iowa State in January, and he's someone that the coaching staff has spoken really highly about since, you know, he started going through winter lifts, obviously spring practice, and then, you know, throughout training camp as well. And walk-on John Klosterman was probably the linebacker that you could argue played the best for Iowa State last weekend against North Dakota.
The defense as a whole, Alec, I know, struggled to stop the run against North Dakota. They had, 174 yards on the ground, had that really time-consuming drive in the middle of the game. But, again, Cyclones able to pull out a win, and in the end, that's essentially all that matters. From the defensive perspective, struggling to stop the run, how big of a concern should that be for Iowa State fans? Or was that just a game one, not showing too much kind of scenario, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's funny you ask the question that way. I asked senior defensive tackle J.R. Singleton, who's also a team captain, if they were just kind of playing a base vanilla defense. He was kind of like, no, we kind of played everything that we usually would. We you know, like we would in any other game. And I think Iowa State can afford to do that because, you know, they've played Iowa so many times in week two that these coaching staffs know what each other want to do and know what each staff wants to accomplish. So I think that, you know, there is reason to be concerned about the way that Iowa State defended the run on Saturday. But at the same time, it's a defensive front that was really productive last year against the run. And they returned so many guys up front from last season's team, whether it's Tyler Onyedum, Dominique Orange, Singleton. They added Kennard Snyder, transfer from Louisiana Monroe, who had a snack on Saturday in the season opener. You know, they have depth. They have returning talent up front that I think that they can count on, but you don't want to, you know, press the panic button after one game like that against an FCS opponent, but it certainly raises your eyebrows and catches your attention, I think.
Alec Bussey from 24/7 Sports, Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Network, joining me here for a few more minutes on 1600 ESPN. Let's go from defense to offense. Plenty of success through the air last week. That first drive, the two incredible passes from Rocco Beck to his star receivers really, you know, made your eyebrows raise. And I hope fans were sitting down in the stadium and got to their seats in time to see that with the highlight play right there off the gate in the first quarter. Not much success on the ground last week, though, and they're still trying to find that balance with running and passing the ball. What type of offensive game plan do you think we're going to see from Iowa State on Saturday against the Hawkeyes? Is it going to be pass heavy, or are they going to try to find success through the air more, or do you think they're going to start to work on getting that balance of run and pass more?
I think any coach would like to tell you that they would like to be balanced offensively. I just don't know if this is an opportunity against this caliber of a defensive front that Iowa has, that the balance is going to come very naturally for the Cyclones. I think they'll try and run the ball with Carson Hansen and Abu Sama and, you know, the Eastern Michigan transfer, Jalen Jackson. But, you know, Iowa State's best playmakers offensively are all in the passing game, whether that's quarterback Rocco Beck or the two receivers outside and Noel and Higgins, like you said, or even tight end Ben Bramer, who's battling a little bit of an injury but should be more healthy on Saturday for the Cyhawk game. All of their best playmakers are in the passing game. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see Iowa State try and throw the ball around a little bit more come this weekend, just like they did last weekend. And also, you know, you take it a step further, and Taylor Mauser, who takes over as the offensive play caller this year for the Cyclones, replacing Nate Shielhouse, he's someone who said he wants to throw the ball deep more often this season. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something you see Iowa State try and do a little bit more, not just on Saturday against Iowa, but throughout the entire season.
Three of Iowa State's last five wins in the series have actually come inside Kinnick Stadium, which is, you know, kind of hard to believe. I know Iowa's owned the series. They have the overall series lead. They had that long winning streak until Iowa State broke it a couple years ago with that 10-7 win inside Kinnick. But they've found success. They've been able to find at least some success on the road. What did Matt Campbell, what were the players saying about maybe trying to recapture some of that magic and go in and win on enemy turf this week?
Yeah, I think Matt Campbell was asked about that 2022 win at Kinnick, and he was pretty blunt and honest. He was like, we didn't really play that well. And, you know, if you go back and watch that game, they turned it over twice inside of the Iowa 10-yard line, which obviously takes points off the board, presumably, for the Cyclones. And it really kind of took a miraculous 80, 90-yard drive against that vaunted Iowa defense to really kind of clinch the win for Iowa State 2 years ago back in 2022. I think, you know, they're really excited to have the opportunity to go in and play at Iowa. They know it's a tough environment. They know it's a hostile place to play. And I think this team relishes that. They started to play really well on the road late last season in some of the Big 12's more difficult environments. They blew out BYU. Granted, BYU wasn't very good last season, but they won a 42-35 thriller on the road at Kansas State in a snowstorm. You know, K-State and Bill Snyder Family Stadium is probably one of the more difficult places to play in the Big 12, or at least in the top half of the conference. I think this team has confidence going on the road. And of course, the win a few years ago at Iowa is a reason for them to have confidence heading into the Saturday's game if they're able to pull out the victory.
I know you wrote at Cyclone Alert this week, Alec, about kind of the big picture meaning of this game. Obviously, it's an in-state rivalry, bragging rights on the line here locally. You're playing for, you know, Iowa pride, especially if you're from the state and you have family who grew up around the rivalry, or you you know, have family who attended either school, stuff like that. But I know you wrote about kind of what this means from a Big 12 versus Big 10 perspective. And when you think about it, and I agree with what you wrote, this kind of means a lot for the conference. Explain kind of your line of thinking if you can.
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate you reading, of course. But I think just for the Big 12 in general, they're fighting a perception battle when it comes to college football this season and moving forward because of what conference realignment has done to the sport with all the biggest brands flocking to the SEC and the Big 10. And the Big 12 to be on a path to potentially securing more than one selection to the 12-team playoff needs to have monumental wins in the non-conference. And, you know, Iowa's probably a dark horse contender for an at-large selection to the CFP if everything goes well for them, given the favorable schedule that's in front of them, having just one preseason-ranked team on their schedule in Ohio State. If Iowa goes 10-2 or 11-1, you know, that's a team that's probably going to be having a pretty good opportunity to get into the CFP. So if Iowa State's able to beat a team like that, that does a lot for not just Iowa State and what they can kind of accomplish this season, but it does a lot for the rest of the Big 12. Because anytime a Big 12 team plays Iowa State, there's kind of an extra feel of gravitas towards what a win against Iowa State could do for a Big 12 team in their resume. And I think you can kind of say that a little bit more just using last weekend's games as an example. West Virginia lost to Penn State in a pretty dominant fashion. Penn State beat the Mountaineers, but it would have been a huge win for West Virginia if they had been able to beat PSU last weekend. But also, like, they just fell short, and now it's up to Iowa State to kind of take the mantle this weekend as a team that you think can kind of can compete at the top of the Big 12 standings against a team in the Big 10 who is potentially a top four, top five, top six team in the Big 10, and maybe a CFP contender. So an Iowa State win can just help the entire conference's perception in the Big 12. And that's why I think it's so valuable for them to, you know, at least compete and make this a close game, which they've done for the most part of the last 8, 9, 10 years.
All right, Alec, I'll just ask you the question. How does Iowa State win this game on Saturday?
Yeah, to me, there's three keys. One, you have to protect the football. Obviously, Iowa takes advantage of their opponent's mistakes better than just about anyone in the country. I also think it's really important for the Cyclones to win the field position battle. It's hard to say that Tim Lester's offense didn't at least grab our attention last week, I guess you could say, after posting 34 points in the second half of last week's game against Illinois State. But at the same time, just 6 points in the first half. So how good is Iowa's offense? We don't really know. But I do know that making them have to go 70, 80, 90 yards to get into scoring position or to get in the end zone is a heck of a lot more challenging than having to go 30, 40, or 50 yards. So I think winning the field position battle and sustaining drives, kind of like Rocco Beck said in the audio that you played before coming back from break, is really important for Iowa State. And then the third thing, they need to play better against the run. Obviously, Iowa struggled to run the ball for the last 2 years, but Caleb Johnson was really successful running the ball in the second half last weekend for the Cyclones against Illinois State. Had 2 touchdowns. He was huge last year in the Cy-Hawk game, had a big 50-plus yard run, if I remember correctly. Johnson also had a really big touchdown run against Illinois that helped them seal a victory against the Illini last season as well. So playing better against the run, making sure that those big home run plays don't happen, I think is really big for Iowa State. And just making Iowa sustain drives is going to be crucial, because I think that that's something that we're also kind of, you know, not buying all the way in on what we saw from the Hawkeye offense in week one.
All right, Alec, what are folks reading from you at Cyclone Alert on 24/7 Sports this week leading up to the game?
Yeah, you mentioned the column that I wrote. I would urge everyone to go read that. It is VIP, so you'll need a 24/7 Sports subscription, but there's no better time to sign up than now. You can get it for 30% off if you're a Cyclone fan or a Hawkeye fan, and you want to sign up for Hawkeye Insider. I highly encourage you to do that, because David Eichholt and Sean Bach do a great job over there. But lots of great content over at the website previewing the game, whether that's, you know, like I said, the column will have our deep, in-depth pregame preview up on Saturday morning. Recruiting content has been posted throughout the week. And then just some other content like a mailbag that I wrote earlier in the week, and some few columns that are reoccurring every week throughout the season. So I highly encourage everyone to sign up at the website if they get the opportunity to, and make sure to check out all of our free content as well. And appreciate you giving me the opportunity to plug that.
Yeah, absolutely. Alec, thanks always for the time. We'll talk to you again later on this season, okay?
Yep. Have a great day, guys.
You too, Alec Bussey from 24/7 Sports. Find him on X, on formerly known as Twitter. It's Twitter, it's X, whatever. At Alec, A-L-E-C underscore Bussey, B-U-S-S-E. Does great work over there for 24/7 Sports. Always good with his time, giving us the insight from out west in Ames. And we'll have plenty more Cy-Hawk content to come even on this show. But tomorrow, final word on the rivalry. And we'll get one more side from the Hawkeye perspective on tomorrow's show. But appreciate Alec's time. And again, check out his work with Cyclone Alert.